Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we go behind closed doors to chew the fat about Black women and obesity. But first, it's time for the next big thing, where we try to get at what's new and happening. Today, we talk about a high-tech way to track human rights violations around the world. Much of the international community has been sounding the alarm about the genocide in Darfur for years. Hundreds of thousands have died or been displaced, but the violence continues, and those believed to be responsible continue to deny the extent of the crisis. Now activists have a new weapon in the fight, satellite technology. Our guest, Ariella Blotter, is here in our Washington studio to talk about this. She is the director of the Crisis Prevention and Response Center for Amnesty International USA. Her work with this new effort was covered in yesterday's Washington Post Sunday magazine. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Amnesty International, where you work, has partnered with a scientific organization to use satellites to track human rights abuses in Sudan. Now, how exactly do you track human rights abuses?
Well, Amnesty International's Eyes on Darfur project is using powerful satellites to monitor intact but highly vulnerable villages in war-torn Darfur to prevent new atrocities and help save lives.
How exactly does it work?
Well, it's pretty simple. Governments and their militaries have been tasking their satellites for about 50 years now. But in the last 5 to 7 years, these new satellites have been launched just for the commercial marketplace. And you simply get in touch with one of the providers. For example, we've used almost all of them, but certainly Digital Earth and GeoEye. You contact their providers, you provide the coordinates and the time frame that you're looking for, and you literally send an email, and then in your inbox will come your acquired satellite image.
How did this alliance between Amnesty International and the manufacturer of the satellite and the science organization all come together?
Well, we were all working separately, myself at Amnesty and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, on the concept of bringing science and human rights together. And we met at a conference on satellite and humanitarian endeavors. And I simply, in the audience, stood up and asked a question about the use of this technology for human rights organizations. And I was quickly shuttled off to the side of the room for intense conversations, and a great relationship was born, and that was about 2 to 3 years ago now.
How do you use these images?
Well, we're using them in advocacy efforts and also in terms of evidence in potential international criminal tribunals. For example, with Zimbabwe, we're using the images of the destruction of the Mugabe administration of 6,000 to 10,000 people in Port-au-Farm. And those images are currently in the African courts right now.
So this can be helpful after the fact in documenting atrocities. But is there any way to use these images to stop the violence in advance?
We are tracking and monitoring in near real time atrocities on the ground before they happen. We're inviting ordinary people to help protect 12 villages by visiting the Eyes on Darfur website. And we're putting the president, al-Bashir, on notice that these areas are being watched. We intend for these 12 villages and others that we're monitoring through more conventional means to remain standing today, tomorrow, and well into the future.
These images, what are you actually physically doing with them? Are you presenting them to the United Nations? Or is it your hope that just public attention will create its own dynamic for an intervention?
Well, we provide these images for the public domain. That includes all humanitarian operations. That includes the United Nations, international courts of note, the public at large to use in their advocacy efforts. Images are 100% undoctored. And actually, it is not possible. We do not have any ability to change the image in any way. We provide the raw file.
Do you have any evidence that the government of Sudan is aware that they are now being monitored to this extent?
I'm pretty sure by now, with the hundreds of thousands of viewers that we've had and the actions being taken, they certainly are aware now. President al-Bashir claims that only 9,000 people have died in Sudan. That is the record that he is putting out there on the airwaves, and we certainly are using this project to actively contest that statement.
Is there any way that the government of Sudan could interfere with this information gathering? Do they have any ability to obscure the images being captured?
Oh, it's one of the amazing things about this technology. It's an unimpeachable source of information. It hangs 280 miles over the sky. It doesn't violate any legal infringements on space. You can't control it. The only way they could actually contest the authenticity is to release their own satellite information. But because this is a source of information, it's a raw file, they would have to show us all their satellites. In fact, all governments would have to release all of their private information in order to contest this. And they're not going to be able to do that because these images are a snapshot from space.
The Post article makes the argument that a major obstacle to international intervention has been the Sudanese government's refusal to acknowledge the violence and its level of complicity. I think a lot of people would argue with that. I think that the international community has been watching the situation for years. There are non-governmental agencies there offering relief. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people displaced. So clearly, everybody knows what's going on. So the question I would have for you is, what difference does the facts make? Clearly, the facts have not made a difference so far.
I think the facts are really important. It becomes really important when you look at a village that we feature, Legadeba, for example. Legadeba was attacked between August 28, 2006 and September 17, 2006, exactly the time that the United Nations Security Council was debating and decided that peacekeepers needed to go in. So that's an example of where supposedly the international community has addressed this situation. And that's why it's extremely important that we say until peacekeepers are there, until there's a long-term solution, there needs to be security for the civilians, for all aid providers, and then we need a long-term solution.
Ariella, thanks so much for joining us and talking about this.
Thank you.
Ariella Blatter is the Director of Crisis Prevention and Response at Amnesty International. She joined us here in the studio. You can find a link to the Washington Post Sunday Magazine article at our website, npr.org/tellmemore.